A saved person who's saved. The whole
of the book of Colossians in chapter 1. And I will try to get across what I've got on my mind. Notice in verse 9, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And a lot of people don't know what the will of God is today. And so they can't be filled with the knowledge if they don't know what it is. And most of the time when people talk about the will of God, they're talking about God's will for their personal life. And God's will for your personal life will run parallel and be in accord with His overall will. And Robbie read the verse today, God will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, I know it's the Lord's will for you personally to be filled with knowledge about what He's doing. Now, you ask people, well, what's the Lord doing today? And they don't even know because they don't have no knowledge. They don't know the Lord. And then he goes, verse 10, that you might walk strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by Him, for Him, and the thrones, dominions, principalities, powers that are on this earth and in heaven. All of these things were created by Him, for Him. That's important. You need to get a grip on that. There are principalities, there are powers, there are dominions out there in the heavens, just like they're here on earth. We have different forms of government. And them governments has rules and regulations. In fact, just turn the page down there and look back in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul, you know, people think Paul didn't ever talk about the soul, did he? But let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, but the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Well, these powers would be like your government, governors, presidents, powers that be, principalities, sheriff, deputies, law enforcement, city, county, all of these things God Almighty instituted, set up after a pattern that's in the heavens. Now, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. In other words, you do what you're supposed to do, and you don't have to worry about the law coming to get you. They'll say, good job. For he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. Sword would be like the law of the land. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to the execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Come down to verse 6. For this cause pay ye tribute also, ye taxes, to support the powers. For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, and on and on. All I want you to see is God set up the governmental structure on this planet and in the heavens out there, and it was created by the Lord for him, by him, for him, verse 16, which are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, the things we see, the structure down here, and the invisible, the heavenly thing, the spiritual thing. Whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things was created by him, for him. Why is that? Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, heaven, earth, that he might have the preeminence. He's number one. Jesus Christ is number one. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, Jesus Christ. Not Brahma, Hindus, all that. Jesus Christ. He's God. He's creator of everything. And by him, you exist right now. By him, you're breathing the air that he created. You're living in the world that he created. And he created all things that he might have the preeminence. Now I want to talk to you about verse 13 for a little bit. And all of what I just said is going to tie together. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I will talk to you about the kingdom of his dear Son. Now there is a kingdom that's in this Bible that has been prophesied. In fact, go back to the book of Daniel, hang on to Colossians, and go back to Daniel and notice in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Now he's talking about the powers of the world powers and the last dominant power before the second coming of Christ. Look what he said. And this is the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. Babylon had a head of gold, you remember? Media Persia, and you'll find a Roman Empire, the Grecian Empire, and then there's going to be a power that the Antichrist is going to set up. Now look in verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. God's going to set up a kingdom. And he had a kingdom with Solomon and David. And they went out and conquered. And that's how you advance the kingdom of heaven, by battle. Now you find in the Old Testament, I mean, they're slaughtering people by the thousands there and going in there and taking over their lands and killing the women and the children and burning their cities and burning their houses. Oh yeah, that's the God of the Bible. He told them to do that. And they go in there and they're slaughtering people. You know what they're doing? They're advancing the kingdom. And so in fact, look over in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse 35, Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. All right, the good news of the kingdom. You see, they lost it in 606. B.C., Nebuchadnezzar came in there and took them captive and took them over there and scattered them. And God had told them, said, now if you do what I tell you to do, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to have delight in blessing you. But if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm going to have delight in destroying you. And I'm going to I'll scatter you, I'll wipe you out. And he did. And they was took captive. And when Jesus Christ came on the scene, they was under the Roman Empire domain. And they was under his influence, the Roman Empire. And so Jesus Christ came and started preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's their Messiah. He's their King. He's their Prince. He's the one. And so you find them preaching the good news of this kingdom. Look, and that's why they asked him in Acts chapter 1. Look in Acts chapter 1. And this is right before he goes back to heaven. In Acts chapter 1, they come together. And notice in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And they was to have a kingdom. That had been prophesied. It had been prophesied in Daniel. They knew about that. And that he was supposed to be the king. And so they said, Lord, you're going to do it to this time? You're going to give us our kingdom? Are we going to be the head of the nations and not the tail? And he doesn't say, he says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Come down to verse 9, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. They're standing there watching him go up. I mean, he just didn't been gone. They're looking at him. He's going up. And they're standing there watching him. And these two men men. Angels, the angels in your Bible's always men. They're always young men. They're all 33 years of age. They're young men. Angels don't have wings. Angels is not sexless. They're males. And so they're standing there, and these two men, young men, stand by and say, "What are you standing there looking at?" I mean, that's, you know, I read that and I think, man, why you ask that? Which way would I be looking? They just gazing, he's plumb out of sight. Said, this same Jesus that you've seen go is going to come again. Well, I know something. I know he comes and he dies. And he's resurrected. And so, ascends up. A cloud receives him out of their sight. This same Jesus going to so come in like manner as you've seen him go. He left from the Mount of Olives. He's coming back to the Mount of Olives. And it's going to split. He's left over here. He's coming back over here. And when he comes back, he's going to establish that kingdom. And Israel will be the head and not the tail of the nations for 1,000 years. And the people will be resurrected and go into that kingdom. That's the kingdom, and that kingdom's going to crush all the other kingdoms of this world, Daniel 2:44. And so when he comes, he's going to do it. Satan will be cast into the bottomless pit down here, and he's going to be there for how long? 1,000 years. Revelation. Six times in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, you find this refrain, 1,000 years. We call it the millennial reign of Christ. Why? Millennial means 1,000. And so the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And Israel is going to be over the nations. And Jesus had promised to the 12, said, "Ye who follow me into regeneration, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones. And on them thrones you're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel, and they've gone out and judged the nations in that kingdom. They're looking for that kingdom. But the kingdom of his dear son is not what Paul, this kingdom here is not what Paul's talking about in Colossians. This over here is a kingdom, physical, earthly, visible kingdom over here. It's heaven on earth. It's earthly. It's visible. There's human beings going to be in that kingdom. There's children going to be born in that kingdom. There is physical bodies in that kingdom. And it's going to be there for 1,000 years, and they're going to live for 1,000 years. Now, look back in Colossians. This kingdom here that Paul's talking about, I have here, you'll have back here, Jesus Christ comes. You got Matthew through John. You got Acts in here. And Jesus Christ back here trains them 12 men, and they offer that kingdom to Israel. And Israel rejects him. You see, God the Father sent John the Baptist back here. He sends old John. I'll just say that represents John. He sends him back here. What'd they do to John? They get killed, didn't they? They permitted his death. What Herod did, cut his head off. Jesus Christ comes on the scene. What'd they do to him? They killed him, didn't they? Nailed him to a cross. You know what Israel said? We'll not have this man. And they took him and nailed him to a cross. I got strike one, Jesus Christ, strike two. Jesus Christ said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come on you. Just as John baptized it with water, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So he sends the Holy Ghost back on the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit of God enters in and fills them 12 men, and they go to Israel, representing God Almighty's Son, and they preach to Israel. And what did they do? They stoned Stephen, they killed James in Acts chapter 12, and they would not have anything to do with the 12 offering the kingdom to them. That's strike three. Now, you sports guys, ladies, how many strikes do you get before you're out? Wonder why? Isn't that something? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and Israel rejected all three, they're gone. Strike three, you're out. Acts chapter 9, there's a man named Saul, and he says he appeared to Paul, he changed his name to Paul, and Paul gets saved on the road to Damascus. Now look at this thing about this. This here, physical. Healings, miracles, physical everything. Baptisms, washings. Over here, physical, physical, physical. But this in here, look what he says. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Turn to 1 Timothy. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 17, excuse me. By the way, let me just read, go back to 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, what's that next word? Now what does that mean? You know why I know it don't mean second? Because it's not spelled the same. It's first. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern. Now what's a pattern? It's something you go by, isn't it? You ladies that sew, you just don't throw you. Don't you have to have a pattern to go by? Of course, y'all probably don't. Y'all so brilliant, y'all wouldn't need that. But no, I'm just kidding. Well, I hope y'all are brilliant. I better shut up before I get in trouble. A pattern. You lay out a pattern. To them which should. Hereafter, not before, hereafter, believe on him to life everlasting. Now watch verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honored and glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he's a king. He's a king in his kingdom. Look in chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality. He's the only one who's got it. You say, well, I have eternal life. You have it because it's his. You have it because of him. He's letting you have his eternal life. You're a partaker of his eternal life. But he's the only one that's got it, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Then he's dwelling in a light which no man can approach unto. You couldn't get to where Jesus Christ is if you tried. You can't go there. No man's ever seen that, where he's at, can see it. Why? Spiritual. And you don't have the means to go there. If you get in a rocket, you can't get there. You understand? Where God is right now, he's due north. And you, billions and billions, he's come out of the universe, folks. What is the kingdom of his dear son? It's a spiritual kingdom. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't touch it. Now look at this thing. We have a spiritual kingdom. In this spiritual kingdom, there's a spiritual body of believers. Look in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Well, verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Well, that ain't water, because you don't put nothing on. You get baptized in water, you ready to take something off when you get baptized. You wet clothes. For as many as you have, of you as have been baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. Now watch it. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. I've been baptized five times. Five times I went under the water as a male. Five times I come up out of the water as a male. This baptism is a spiritual baptism. And look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then it's that church. Look in chapter 2 of Ephesians. Then verse 16. Well, let's read verse 50. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. No doubt about it, it's a body of believers and is saved by grace. In verse chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then we find here, this is a spiritual body, and it's a body of believers in here. That's what God's doing today. He's saving old Gentile people that don't deserve to be saved. He's saving all men. He's dealing with all men about the death of his son and offering them a chance to get into this body and be a part of this body, which is a spiritual body. It's a spiritual kingdom. That's the kingdom of his dear son. It's the spiritual body of Christ. This is earthly, physical. You can see it, you can touch it, you can feel it. But you can't touch, feel, see the body of Christ, the kingdom of His Son. That's why we have spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Look what he says in verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rule powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Then our warfare is spiritual. It's against principalities, powers, or the created in the heavens out there, the demonic forces that's against us, the rulers of darkness. And you find the kingdom of His dear Son, it's light and darkness. You know what the dark kingdom of darkness is in this world? It's the mystery of iniquity. You know what it is? It's religion. And there people are so religious today, but they don't know the God of this Bible. Oh, they go to church and they play church and they have their programs and they think they're doing, they depending on their goodness. And, well, I'm not too bad. I do good things. Well, I give to the United Way. I give to the whatever the programs are. And I do this. I do that. God ain't interested in what you do. That don't impress the Lord. You know what impresses the Lord? Jesus said, if you honor me, God will honor you. Look what he says. This is spiritual warfare. In this kingdom, it's a kingdom that we walk by faith, not by sight. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. How did you receive Him? By faith. We don't see it. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You know why the big buildings is built and all of the magnificent stained glass windows and all of this and all that goes in the religious church buildings so they can set back glory in it? They got to have something they see, something they can touch, something they can feel. God says we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith in what thus saith the Lord. Now look at this thing. We walk in knowledge. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We're to increase in it in Colossians 3, verse 10, and that you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. How do you renew your new inward man that God put in you? By knowledge, by increasing in the knowledge of God. How do you increase the knowledge of God? By getting in this book and reading it and believing it. By studying the Bible. This is a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom. The kingdom is the church. Look in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church. This house of God is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. God was manifest in the flesh through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a reference to the deity of Christ, but it's also what can be said about Christ in that verse is said about the body of Christ today. Where do you find God at today? You don't find Him in the cathedrals. You don't find Him in some building. The house of God is the church, and the people make up the church. The building ain't nothing. And I'm glad for it, and I think we ought to honor it and take care of it and try to that, but it's not nothing. It's just brick, mortar, wood. Gonna burn someday, gonna rot down someday, termites, whatever's gonna eat. The hurricane come blow it off, or tornado come rip it down to shreds, some fidel come set it on fire. That you think God's going to set up there and just eat his fingernails off because we lose this building ain't nothing. What's the church? It's the people that's saved by the grace of God that's in the building. And you know what he said, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself. You know, a lot of people in the church is misbehaving. And when I was coming up as a child, till I got up a certain age, I sat with my mama. Now, my mama had a knack for reaching over there and twisting your skin like you never felt before. She would pinch you and twist. And you knew, or thump you on the ears or something. You didn't misbehave. And if you got where you got a little older, you sat back with somebody else, my daddy had a look, my mama had a look, and it seemed like they had radar and eyes in the back of their head. You didn't misbehave in church. Now, that's not the way it is anymore. Seems like the youngins have the run of the mill. Tell the parents what to do. Well, just as behave, he said that thou oughtest to behave thyself. Well, how do you behave yourself in the church? He's not talking about the building, physical. He's talking about spiritual. There are guidelines that God gave you that you behave yourself in the house of God. One of them is you got to know the will of God. You got to know what you believe. There's a lot of people that's saved that's in the body of Christ, and they're misbehaving. They're just running wild, preaching, teaching anything, and they're misbehaving. And they're called getting other people in trouble. I've heard Michelle talk about if Jeannie got in trouble, she'd get in trouble. Because they both sat together. You ever been that way? One gets into it and the other gets there. You ever been in a place where you just get tickled and you can't talk? Jude was bad about that down at the conference one time. Just get tickled and can't stop. I'll never forget that. I was sitting there and preaching, Jude said, I think Kevin them was there. Yeah. Y'all remember that? And her and Jeannie, and I'm saying, misbehaving. Going to get me in trouble. People going to look at me. And that's the way it is spiritually. Well, God has laid out some guidelines for the people, the body of Christ, to follow. And if they don't follow and stay with them rules and regulations, then they're misbehaving. Let me give you an example. Turn with me to Ephesians. And you know where they're going to get straightened out? at the judgment seat of Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. By the way, this kingdom is a kingdom of light, and light is knowledge. Ephesians chapter 5. Notice what he says in verse, let's see. Well, man, ain't no, just verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior. Then we're to walk in love. Look back in Galatians. Hang on to Ephesians. Look back in Galatians chapter 5, I believe it is. Chapter 6. And notice in verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're to bear one another's burdens. We're to help one another. We're to work with our hands that we might give to those that have in need. We're to bear one another. Walk in love. There are some rules and guidelines, and if the body of Christ is not doing it, then they're misbehaving. And they're causing other people to falter. The kingdom of light. People that don't know, and I'm going to close. And maybe I'll take up next week about it. But people that don't know that Christ died for all of their sins, they're in darkness. This gospel, the good news that Christ died for your sins and was buried and God raised him the third day, is light. And people that don't know that are in darkness today. Now they might know that Christ died. They might know that he was buried, and they might know that he was resurrected, and they might hear that preached. But I'm talking about they don't hear it preached that Christ died for all of their sins. And they're in darkness because of it. We're in a kingdom, but it's a spiritual kingdom. It's the kingdom of his dear son. Now next week, I want you to see something. God is a triune being. We're spirit. Spiritual. We're body, soul, spirit. And I got to thinking about that. There's some flesh on this earth. There's going to be a soul in that city. And there's spirit out there in the heavens that's going to bring everything so that everything is under the control of Christ. Lord willing, we'll get into that next week. So shake hands with one another, you're at liberty.